inform you that much of the, actually the lion's share of the labor that went into this parking survey that I prepared for you was done by our Director of Public Information, Chip Guy. Chip and I spent a lot of time. We spent a lot of time counting parking places one by one, and then Chip went back that afternoon and tried to get an assessment of how many parking places were being used in relationship to how many are available. This map indicates in red the two current county parking places that are parking lots that are being used. These two in red. This is the state parking lot that's adjacent to the building we're in currently. In Georgetown, we have a square circle, but this is the circle laid out as per the boundaries of the street. So this is the circle. The star shows where you are right now. This is our current building. This parking lot adjacent to our property is the state parking lot. We only have 10 reserved spots in this lot. But lots one and lots two are the lots that are currently being used by state by county employees for our county administration building.
Thank you.
The state parking is public parking.
Much of it is. Right. There. However, I can tell you from experience that if you work here and you want to park in this lot, you'll get here by 7:45 a.m. or you won't get a spot.
But it is.
Yes.
It is a public.
There are some open to the public parking available in this lot. There are some. Yes. Very few.
Are our county parking lots, are they open to the public?
In some places, yes. There much of the parking in our lots are identified as reserved for county employees.
Okay.
Some is even reserved for county directors, and some is open to the public. So we have in this report that you have before you, there should be an explanation of that mix. On the first page, it shows you parking lots one, which has 66 open spaces, 18 reserved for directors. And it gives you a breakdown on this report of what parking places are available. There's a lot of detail in here that Chip did mostly. I want to make sure you know that. Secondly, if you go to you turn to page two, you'll find on the bottom of page two the totals, which I'm sure is what you really want to see because this gives you.
Let's specify which one. There are two reports in front of you, members of council. The first one is essentially an inventory of what's available, what is there. The second one, that's the one that's stapled, and that's three pages. The second one, which is a single sheet but it's double-sided, is an actual inventory survey of what was being used during a particular hour on a particular date, and this was from 1:30 to 2 p.m. on August the 3rd. You'll see at the on the second, on the flip side, down at the bottom, the totals of spaces that were available between 1:30 and 2 p.m. highlighted in green.
Yeah, so what Chip just referred to is on the back of the second, of the, actually the third page, you'll find highlighted in green parking spaces that were available during a work day. There were 21 available in our parking lots and 285 open to the public available parking spaces within a close walk of the building. But that's public, that's on street.
Within 1 to 2 blocks, depending on which direction you're heading. What we tried to do was with the building itself, tried to keep to a radius of 1 block around the circle. And then because the building is on the southeast side of the circle, we extended the radius a little bit from there to the east and to the south to capture some of those side streets, figuring that employees could park on side streets in within a block of that distance and walk from there to the back door as opposed to the front door.
Your quick assessment, or was there a lot of parking available? Was there very little parking available? What was your...
Well, I think that the figures speak for themselves. There's, if you look at the bottom of page three,
I just want to hear it.
There were places to park.
Yeah,
if you guys agree to it.
Now, on the bottom,
there were places to park.
Yeah, there's available.
There ample parking.
Seems to be.
There were places to park.
How close to this building?
Ample parking. I mean,
it's
I mean, to me,
don't have a parking problem. We don't.
Well, every downtown in America probably has some kind of a parking problem. It's whether or not you can solve the problem or not.
Just can't park next to your
door. Right. Yeah, the reality is this. It's not Walmart. It's not the grocery store.
It's not 7-Eleven. You can't park
right.
front.
You can't pull right up to the front of the building.
Right. That's true.
Chances are. I mean, that's
right,
just the reality. My previous job, when I worked for another employer, it was not uncommon to park at the back of the building, the back of the lot, which was at the back of the building.
Previous job, it wasn't unusual to park in the county parking lot.
That was when I was down here, but I'm talking about the other, the main office in Wilmington. Anyway, so I mean, the point is that sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure, but okay.
You're just not going to some mornings I get a parking spot here in the state lot. Some mornings I get a spot in the, I believe it's number two that we refer to, which is beside Tunnel and Razor. Some mornings I'm in County Lot 1, and some mornings I'm on a side street.
What I'm trying to do is just get, is there an agreement here in this room today that there is a parking permit or there is not a parking permit?
It's subjective, Mr. Cole.
There's got to be. No, it's either yes or no.
It's your opinion.
Here we go again.
My personal opinion, George, I hate to say it.
You just said it's in black and white. Can you decipher that information and give me an answer?
It seems to me, according to this report, there's enough parking.
Ah, bingo. He made a decision.
Mr. Rogers.
Park this down your calendar.
All right.
Mr. Rogers, in the building that was proposed in the FY 2007 budget, there was ample off-street parking.
There's ample. Okay, did anybody hear Mr. Stickles, Mr. Jones?
The bottom line is it's ample, but it's not close to the building. That's all.
In the building that was proposed in the FY 2007 budget, there was ample off-street parking to comply with the town's zoning.
Okay.
On a pleasant spring day, it's ample. In the middle of winter,
it's still ample. It's still ample.
Oh, icy rain.
Well, no.
Two blocks.
That's not a parking issue. That's a how do you get to work issue.
I'm saying it's very subjective. You can't just say.
I have never had an employee turn down a job if I've said to him, you have to walk two blocks away if you accept this job.
Honestly, I'm not too much worried about the employees. I'm worried about the public getting to the departments to get permits. I mean, I get calls from the public, not from employees about the parking. And that's my concern.
And in that case,
I've never had a call.
Well, you don't return calls, is why.
Well, for the record,
you're making
Phillips,
it up.
It should be noted that on the circle alone, there are almost 40 parking spaces that are available.
Available,
right?
They're there for the taking. I'm not saying they're necessarily
gentlemen, we
open.
We can engineer this as if there is a problem, but it just seems to me, from the consensus here, from what this report has just said, there isn't a problem that anybody can point to. Unless we're having a blizzard out there or a big northeastern or something like that.
You go
in
out
general,
to the west
you've
building.
Got decent parking.
You go out to the west building and the public's not going to park any closer.
No.
They got all the things out in the
you
wing.
Got the paramedics,
right?
You
the
got the employees and all.
The west.
Yeah.
They're still not parking any closer.
How many spots do we lose behind Bodie's?
If everybody become handicapped, they spots get
behind Bodie's, that is lot number two. By the way, on the corresponding map, every street is identified with a letter of the alphabet, and then you'll find that letter identifying either by parking lot or side street parking. Parking lot number two is beside Tunnel and Razor behind Bodie's. There are 47 open spaces there, an additional one reserved for a row officer, one motorcycle only, and one handicapped only, for a total of 50 in that lot.
You mean there was 47 when you walked that parking lot?
No, there are 47 that are marked there.
Okay.
47 that are marked in that paved portion of county lot number two. But that, if that is where the annex is constructed, there is expansion parking proposed for property. If you look on your maps right behind County 2, there's a small rectangle highlighted in red. That is right now an unpaved auxiliary lot. That parcel, along with the two shaded in the green crosshatch, would be merged and paved as a new parking lot to replace the lot there at County 2. And that lot there alone would give you, if I'm not...
Currently, there are cars parked on the gravel in this green square.
That's known as the Sambar expansion. That would give you 47 spaces.
Right directly behind.
So it's almost
Sambar
a net.
Right.
There's already cars in it on the lot, on the gravel.
But it's not
on the gravel
off.
Portion.
Right. Right.
One of the concepts that I saw were building a building where that parking lot was showing saving 10 parking places at the back of that building. Not
right.
Building a 40,000 square foot building
not
there
entirely.
Would still leave 10 parking places that could be parked right on the back, either leaving it for unloading.
So that may give you some additional.
But also giving additional parking.
And then
the green blocks on this map, here, here, and there, are lands that the county already owns but are not yet developed into parking. This is grass and trees. This has two old homes on it. And this is the empty lot between what was Smith's Restaurant and the railroad. And
First state lot.
The only off-street parking that is being provided is either state or county. There is no public off-street parking provided. I mean, if the county shut down parking and said this is just county parking, none of the businesses downtown have any off-street parking.
These three crosshatched are all planned to have parking.
Yes.
They're land that we own that do not have parking places on them yet.
Understood, but for instance, the one up by county lot number one at this current time with the two old houses on it,
right.
We have intentions of nuking the houses and making a parking lot.
Right. Okay. We own one and we're waiting to go to settlement on the other.
Right.
We have a signed contract.
Personally, myself, I think there's a parking problem. I don't care what this shows, I still think you do have a parking problem, and I don't think you get people to walk from over behind Smith's. They're not going to park over there and walk over without complaining. I've never heard anybody come to me and say, well, I really enjoy going to the county because it's so easy to find a place to park. All I hear is the opposite. I ride around, and I've been the victim of two parking fines in Georgetown myself because parking in the wrong spot, and they make a good amount of money on fines, but I do think we got a problem. But everybody wants to park close to the building, and if you don't think so, walk out this side of the building and see who's parked right next to the building out here. I mean, why don't the council park over on the other side of Smith's restaurant? Because we want it convenient. I'm sorry,
okay,
that's the way it is.
I'll make a motion that we put our parking then over in the farthest lot. You're crazy. Anybody want a second motion?
I proposed that when we moved in here, but I won't tell you what Bill Stevenson and Ralph Benson told me would happen.
Doesn't need me either. Bunch of babies. All right, gentlemen, you heard the report. You want to take
that? Gotta agree with him.
Just keep in mind, gentlemen, we have for years acquired property to go to this. We're in this direction to change now after we've acquired all this, and then that there is no parking problem. If you want to change the location of the new building, don't use parking as the issue, Dale. We're going to have to find another issue as to reasoning to take it off, because I think it's hard to dispute what they've just been able
to do. When you put that building in that parking lot, what are you doing? You're not adding more parking over there.
We got sufficient parking. To put George on the bus.
That's fine.
Okay. You give a report. We'll take it and digest it.
I was just going to add that I did, for your information purposes only, I did add to my research from the last two meetings ago about land to be purchased near the West Complex. If you drive up behind the West Complex on Laurel Road, there is one piece of property back on that road between us and the high school that is for sale. It's 2.8 acres. It has been approved by the town of Georgetown for some 24 townhomes. I have the plans for that. I had to go to a realtor yesterday to get this because the listing agent was not able to give me the assistance I was hoping she would. But anyway, I got drawings for that property. And what I'm trying to show you is that as another one of your alternatives to be looked at, if this is not a viable alternative, as you drive back Laurel Lane, I'm sorry I don't have a map to show you, the first property you come to on the left of Laurel Lane, immediately behind our property, is owned by a medical center. I believe it's ultimately owned by Nanticoke Hospital. And that parcel is 4.8 acres, of which they're only using a portion of that on the front, which fronts onto West Market Street. Then beyond that property, as you're coming north toward the high school, there's another 2.8 acres, that's this property, that's currently been zoned for townhouses and is for sale at $1.1 million. There must be some motivation behind this seller to sell it, because I got a phone call yesterday from the realtor saying that if we were willing to venture into a contract that didn't require any more town approvals, they would sell the property for $950. So it sounds like there's a motivated seller here. Anyway, if you could obtain control of a portion of the rear property that's owned by Nanticoke Hospital and this property, you would have assembled somewhere around 5 acres directly adjacent to our West Complex. That would be undeveloped land, and I think there's been some discussion with Nanticoke Hospital as to whether or not that land might be available.
Okay. Gentlemen, take that information and think about it. We'll put it back on the agenda.
Works for me.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for that safari you did on that hot day.
Thank you. Excellent report.
Excellent.
Next, we'll move on. We'll move on to Mr. Lank, I believe you're up. In order to amend Chapter 115, Section 11, the number of off-street parking required by multifamily.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
Last week I provided a copy of a report for the old business, being ordinance amendment to amend Chapter 115, Section 162, relating to the number of off-street parking spaces required for multifamily dwellings and townhouses. To copy the commission report and the commission recommendations. Attached to that, I also provided for your benefit a copy of the minutes of the council for your public hearing on April 11th of 2006. A copy of the discussion from the minutes of a discussion on the ordinance amendment from the minutes of June 27th of 06. A copy of the original proposed ordinance amendment, and a copy of an amended version of the ordinance amendment that was forwarded to Mr. Griffin and Mr. Robertson, the county attorneys. After I'd sent that to you late Friday, we received a copy of a ordinance or some suggested changes from Mr. Robertson, and Rick's passing those out, and his changes are highlighted in yellow so you can see what his suggestions are as it relates to.
All right.
The ordinance amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would refer to Rick if he has any additional comments, because he dealt with, talked to Vince and about the ordinance.
Pretty self-explanatory. What we tried to do is include the recommendations of the Planning Commission right into the ordinance, which was done. The revision suggested by Mr. Robertson basically clarify the intent on how the percentage is to be distributed. So I think it makes it clear what the intent was there. So
yeah, P&Z, if I'm not mistaken, if you look at the past minutes, said that they approved it. Just wanted a few definitions and stuff like that, which I think we incorporated everything.
The commission, in their motion to approve, made suggestions or recommendations, right, but it didn't specifically say how they wanted it worded.
Right.
And it kind
correct
of left it hanging with the council, and
yeah,
the council
agree
referred it back to us. And
right.
And the revisions basically were modeled after the original model, which is Ocean City.
Right.
The issue primarily dealing with bedrooms and how bedrooms are allocated,
right,
or right used.
Other names and all that.
Right. Under section, in the very first part, second bullet, first page. In the first draft, was a sentence in there that says, in calculating the required parking, the number of one bedroom and efficient units shall be proportionally distributed if development exceeds 50 units. Was that in the original draft?
I don't believe it was in the original. I think that's part of the clarification of the commission's motion.
Right.
I just didn't know what it meant when it.
Basically, that in the first part of what is now labeled as B, we have the distribution or the reduction by 15% if it's over 50 and by 20% if it's over 200. What that sentence is trying to do is make sure that the original requirement of A is applied to the first 50 units.
Right.
What was originally said was that for each unit in excess of 50, which was a questionable statement anyway, the required parking shall be reduced by 15%, and for each unit in excess of 200, the required parking shall be reduced by 20%. And we changed the word unit, which is more singular,
right,
to development,
right,
which provides for the project rather than a unit.
It works in your terms versus.
So the basic requirement of A applies to the first 50 units.
Right.
After 50 units, between 50 and 200, the amount can be reduced by 15%. After 200, that amount after 200 can be reduced by 20%.
Correct.
Okay, then on down to the two more bullets down, where it says for purposes of this section. It's, you read in there, an efficiency unit shall meet one story room the size of which cannot exceed 500 square feet that is not susceptible to the permanent division that contains a kitchen or a kitchenette and not more than one bathroom, both which must be located in the same end of the room. What's that? That don't make any sense.
Again, that's straight out of the model, which is Ocean City. That's their language. It's an attempt to describe what an efficiency is.
Right.
So that the.
But it's telling me how I got to lay it out.
That's.
That'll be out of there, in my opinion.
With square feet. No, they do it by square feet. No,
yeah, but he's saying that the bathroom and the bedroom have to be the same end.
I think in most designs, aren't the plumbing pretty much confined to one area of a building, and they're either stacked or backed up to where those plumbing.
We're talking about parking. That's why I didn't know that.
It's
the definition for efficiency is what you're trying to say.
Right.
Right.
More than anything else.
That the bath and the kitchen are basically together.
I don't have a problem with that part of it, but after it, where it says both and much must be located, the same end, I'll be deleted.
Yeah, that's kind of
last little wing.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure
somebody.
It's after the model that. Right. Ocean City.
Yeah, somehow I'll come up with one where the kitchen and the unit next door is next to the bathroom and your unit.
And then with saying that, I just like from both of which should be located on the same end, it'll be deleted. And then on down it says an accessory room shall mean any room in a dwelling unit other than a bathroom, bedroom, bathroom, kitchen. And if you word it that way, it should say one dining room, one living room, or living dining room. You should add the word dining room in there if you're going to do it that way.
We'll make whatever changes you want to make. It's
just a thought.
Based after
I was reading
the,
it, didn't make a lot of sense.
The Ocean City model. It's word for word what's in the Ocean City ordinance.
And then I only have one other comment on section two on page two. You've been saying the word condominiums all along, and on that section there, it says apartments all through it. Whereas the section two, the Code of Sussex County, section 115-188D. The first paragraph before the synopsis, if you look the sentence above the last one there where it says amended, you got the word apartments to condominiums where you got condominiums.
That's straight out of our existing ordinance.
Right.
All we changed there is the requirement from three to two because...
Well, my question was, what's P&Z wanted to say, apartments or condominiums? It just needs to be the same all the way through.
That deals with a whole different section of the code and different requirements. It deals with apartments. That's the purpose of that section. And we're just making it.
Well, it launches wherever you want it to be. I thought there was a difference between apartment and condominium.
As Rick said, this is a quote right from our ordinance today. And because of a change in the ordinance where we had multifamily parking requirements and townhouse parking requirements, the council was receiving complaints that apartments don't have the amount of parking that condominiums and townhouses do.
And you know what they're doing?
And you change the ordinance to allow for two.
Okay, here's the problem I see, Lynn. Maybe it's along the same lines. We're talking about types of ownership.
Right.
And we ought to maybe take out references as a type of ownership and just reference square footages and the bedroom layout because in other parts of the country, many places now are going through redevelopment, and they're taking apartments and turning them into condominiums. They're taking motels and calling them condominiums.
Right.
And so it's getting to, we're just changing a name from apartment to condo, and all of a sudden we're in a whole different category. What ought to be doing is trying to reference
square footage,
a description of a dwelling unit at certain square footage will be with one bedroom would be this, or a certain square footage without any bedrooms, or I don't know. In other words, we ought to be looking at something other than types of ownership.
The conversion you referenced, Mr. Cole, happens here.
Oh, I know it is happening.
Where they convert.
I've also run across two instances, and one right in nearby me right now is where they want to, in a townhouse setup, move some walls in where the parking area is. All of a sudden, you've eliminated one of the parking spots. In another condominium or townhouse project, somebody was telling me she was going to convert their garage to a bedroom because it was really too small for a garage. So all of a sudden that eliminates because we calculated that as a parking spot. So if that sets a precedent for that whole project, Next thing you know, we were all short of things. So we got to somehow get rid of the definition including types of ownership like condo, apartment, or whatever, I think.
And I just asking what you want.
That's a different day, though.
Well, I don't know. Before we do this, it means we...
No. I mean, I...
We'd be nice to get something right one time and not have to keep putting it off and just keep adopting ordinances unless we're going to... We ought to have a ripple effect through everything that it affects, I guess.
I'm not sure there's a consensus on your position. I mean, we've been beating this thing to death, and we've got something that if it's not perfect, it's 95%.
Well, that's what gets us into trouble, I guess.
You've answered my question. I just think that... From that,
no, you're right.
One,
that you're right. I think that that one little sentence you put in there, to
both of which may be located
the
same
no
in the room.
That. That's not like that. That's it. I got no problem with that.
But with that, they ought to add the word two sentences down, one dining room. If they're putting all them other descriptions in there,
I'm sure somebody's going to come up with something.
You hear that?
Is that a majority?
Sir, I'm sorry. We were trying to figure out
strike that sentence.
We're trying to figure out what's going on again.
You mean both of which must be located the same in the room?
Just strike that. And then the thing, you ought to add the word one dining room in below, down where it says bathroom, kitchen, one dining room, one living room, or living dining room.
So where it says kitchen.
Then add in one dining room. Because that's the only...
Comma.
Yeah, right.
One living room. One dining room.
There you go. And one living dining room.
Or living dining room combination.
Right.
Right.
Okay,
that's all the questions I got.
Let me just ask Lawrence. Lawrence, if we see a conversion here from apartments to condos, is there any? Do they have to come to the county for anything?
No.
So the parking.
A condominium is only a word. It's a word.
I understand
used.
That.
It's a method of sales.
Well, that's what I'm trying to clarify. That I think the rest of the council needs to understand that. So right now these conversions could happen, and we're caught short where they've come in as an apartment, and next thing you know, they flip the project. Somebody calls them now condos. But it's been approved under
okay,
a certain...
We haven't had that problem
but
with newer apartments because we're not getting new apartments.
Right.
Very few, if any. But the ones that we had dealing with were built in the 60s or 70s, and now they want to convert to condominium sales. That's the only one we've had dealings with. And we've had quite a few.
Right, I know. But so there's no way we can correct and make sure that they come into compliance.
They would have been in compliance based on what they had at the time they did it. So they had apartment building built, two parking spaces per unit, and then they come in and convert it to a condo. So it wouldn't conform today if they did it today, but we haven't had any recently. I don't think we've had any. I don't think we've had any since the ordinance changed.
All right, that doesn't mean anything. I'm just trying.
It would, yes, because they would have been built at two units, and now they're selling condominiums, which attracts more people permanently. So they shouldn't have three parking spaces. And they could apply to the board for a variance in their parking. Let a public hearing decide.
Right.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, any other questions, comments?
So we did the two changes. Everybody.
Yep. One deletion, one addition. That's it. That's
right. The recommendation on D at the bottom of the first page would be to delete the words "both of which must be located at the same end of the room." And on page two, to complete the sentence from one, an accessory room shall mean any room in a dwelling unit other than a bedroom, bathroom, kitchen, one dining room, or one living room, one dining room, or living dining room combination.
Correct.
If we need a word one in there, I guess we do.
Gentlemen, any other questions?
Nope. You need a motion?
You got one prepared? You go. Make a motion.
Yep. I make a motion and we accept the ordinance as amended.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips to accept the parking lot ordinance. Orders to amend Chapter 15 relating to the number of all-street parking spaces required by multifamily dwellings and townhouses with the modifications. And they've been read into the record by Mr. Lang. One is just deleting a sentence for both, which must be located same in the room, and adding one dining room next two bullets down. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record recommendation of planning and zoning with the modifications by council, I vote yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes also. Agreeing with P&Z and the modifications we made on the ordinance today.
Mr. Dukes?
With the amendment, my vote would be yes.
The amendment, the recommendation of P&Z, my vote is yes. Motion passed. Next, Hal Godwin, what are you going to say? Or sorry, now Mr. Lang.
I have a second item under old business. It was an appeal filed by Laborio LP on the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission decision to approve an application of Christine Reeves and William Gigno, subdivision number 2002-39. For the benefit of council, I just passed down some.
You get paid more.
Okay.
A lot of history.
Mr. President, I was not here for the public hearing. I will not be participating.
It's not open, is it?
No.
Thank you.
I don't want to read it. No pictures, does it?
You don't want to clog the system.
Mr. Lang.
He wasn't here for the
funeral that morning.
Was it Sam Yoder?
Likely still.
June 6th, right?
This has been an ongoing application, appears. We started on this in 2002. It's only one lot, and it's got to follow this lark. Yeah, I hate to think of what it would have been if it had been any bigger.
If it had been 200 lot subdivision.
Yeah. What I've provided for you is, this morning has been a memorandum. It makes reference to a copy of the report provided to you back in June 6th of 06 on an appeal hearing filed by Laborio LP. That report included a brief history of the application, a copy of the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission for September 8th of 2005, which was a public hearing date, a copy of the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission for October 27th of 2005, the date of the Commission's decision to approve the application, a copy of the original survey of the Fox Hollow subdivision depicting the lot in question, and a copy of the survey of the lot prepared by Mann Associates Incorporated. And then I provided a copy of the minutes of the council for June 6th of 2006, which was a public hearing on the appeal. What your note is, just a brief history of the application goes all the way back to the application being filed on October 17th of 02. Commission held a public hearing on February 20th of 03, granted preliminary approval on March 13th of 03. The opposition filed an appeal with the courts, and the court ruled the commission rehear the application because the decision didn't have any basis of record. They made a motion to approve, and it was adopted, and then the courts felt there should be more reasons. Then the commission held a public hearing again on September 8th of 05, granted preliminary and final approval on October 27th of 05, and then I attached the minutes of both for that purpose. If you go to the commission record of October 27th, there was a motion or statement made by Mr. Johnson who would move that the commission grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2002, rather than 3, typo, 39 for Christine Reese and William Kignew, based upon a record and for the following reasons. One, the applicants are seeking the subdivision of land in a MR medium density residential district by revising an existing open space parcel into a building lot within the existing Fox Hollow subdivision. Two, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. Three, the applicant has provided the required 51% agreement of the existing property owners within the Fox Hollow subdivision. Four, the land is zoned MR, which permits low-density, single-family residential development of this type. Five, the proposed subdivision is generally in character with the existing subdivision. The 1.25-acre parcel is actually larger than the other lots in the subdivision. Six, although the parcel in question was shown on the original plan as open space, it does not appear that it was specifically designated for any particular purpose, such as a recreational area. Seven, according to the information presented, the parcel was intended to serve as something of a buffer between the residential area of Fox Hollow and the commercial area along Route 24, now known as Peddler's Village. Eight, the residents of Fox Hollow have not utilized this parcel in any manner in 35 years. Rather, it has been a source of complaints and perhaps an eyesore at times due to the sporadic maintenance. While providing some sparsal barrier between the residential and commercial areas. It has not had any landscaping or plantings, which would have provided at least some visual buffer. 9, the parcel has never transferred to the Fox Hollow HOA or Homeowners Association and has never been utilized by the subdivision. Instead, ownership has been retained for approximately 35 years by the original developer of the subdivision. Property taxes have been continuously paid by the owner, and the property has been periodically maintained by same. 10, the county's ordinance 99-13 authorizes a re-subdivision or an alteration to a previously approved recorded plot, and the requirements have been complied with in this application. The application has been exposed to a public hearing, and the re-subdivision or alteration has been approved by no less than 51% of the lot owners. 11, the commission has reviewed and considered the requirements of section 99-9C and finds that most of these considerations would have been relevant for an initial plot or initial subdivision, but have little application to a re-subdivision or alteration of a recorded plot. The commission is aware of the goal of subsection 4 in preserving open space and scenic views, but the record was clear that there was nothing scenic about the view of this property and preserving open space, which is an eyesore of little value. Subsection 6 addresses screening up objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways, and it is the commission's view that the vacant lot has done little to satisfy their consideration for 35 years, and that a newly constructed residential dwelling would do far more to satisfy the requirement than a vacant lot. Finally, the newly constructed residential dwelling would, in the commission's eyes, have a positive impact on property values compared with the eyesore which has existed. And the use of the property for a single family dwelling would be compatible to the remainder of the subdivision. 12, the term open space is not defined in the subdivision ordinance, whereas the opposing parties acknowledge this area was intended to act as a buffer between the commercial area and the residential community and has not been adequately or routinely maintained. It is the commission's finding that the Fox Hollow residential community would be better served if the open space was to become a lot within the subdivision for a single family dwelling. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. 1, there shall be only one single-family dwelling built on the lot. 2, a fence or screening landscape buffer of at least 6 feet in height shall be constructed or maintained between the commercial property and this parcel, with the exception of an area at least 30 feet from Fairfield Road, so as to not impede safe pedestrian or vehicular traffic. There was a motion, a second, and carried 3-1, with Mr. Wheatley opposed, to approve this application for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 3-1.
Gentlemen, question, Mr. Lang.
Excuse me.
Question to Mr. Lang.
If you remember. I guess, right, if you look at the past minutes, like I said, I think pretty much they described it, but it said Lynn questioned the term open space and talked to you, Rick.
I did some research in that area. And what I ultimately concluded was that since the county has the power to zone, the county has the power to subdivide, it also has the power to rezone and resubdivide. Anybody buying property goes in with that knowledge, and I don't know that there was anything in the record, at least, to suggest that this was somehow going to be in perpetuity or permanently maintained as open space. It wasn't conveyed over to the Property Owners Association, which would typically be done with open space and amenities and pools and things of that nature. The county has a fairly strict ordinance on resubdividing, and I think to the extent that those requirements were complied with prior to the commission's original decision, that's a perfectly appropriate act.
And Fox Hollow is about how old, Lawrence? I guess. How many years has it been around?
It's been very long.
It was built, it was probably in the 69 or 70.
70.
Early 70s.
Okay, so
73, 72.
Since that time period, the Homeowner Association has not been able to acquire it or even maybe attempted to acquire it. I don't know.
Not to my knowledge. But
they didn't try. Yeah, they didn't try.
All right.
So what you're saying is the man should be able to do what he wants with his land.
There's nothing preventing that that I'm aware of.
Okay. He's paid the taxes and everything else.
Okay. Okay, any other questions, Mr. Lang? You've heard legal counsel's opinion on open space that we asked the question of? If not,
I'll make a motion that we accept P&Z's decision.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Cole, to accept the record recommendation of Planning and Zoning Commission as read by Mr. Lankin to the record. As read. Questions? Call for the vote. Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes. I think the Planning and Zoning and their 11 supporting, or no, it was 12, I'm sorry, 12 supporting elements of their decision were right on target, and I'll vote yes.
Mr. Cole votes yes. Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record recommendation of Planning and Zoning, I vote yes.
Also, yes, Mr. Jones.
My vote is yes, also with the recommendations of Planning and Zoning's decision on this appeal.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes is not participating. Not voting. My vote will be yes based on recommendations of Planning and Zoning. 11 things.
Thank you, Dom.
Yeah, we move right along to Mr. Russell Archer. Russell Archer. No, excuse me, Jim Hinkle.
I like the toilet right outside.
He made lines and rules here.
I like the toilet there.
Jim Hinkle, project manager, consultant agreement with Delta Airport Consultants. A, amendment number 17. Mr. Hinkle, good morning. Proceed.
Morning, Jim.
Morning. Good morning. I've got one item this morning. It's Amendment 17 to our consulting contract with Delta Airport Consultants. It will provide environmental assessment for the next 5 years worth of projects at the airport and also a benefit cost analysis associated with extending the runway at the airport. The total cost of the amendment is $634,694.
Okay.
What that will cover is the environmental assessment, as I said, for every project for the next 5 years that's on the books right now. All of our property acquisition, obstruction removal associated with the approach procedures and the extension of the runway. All of the runway four extension projects, including things like approach lights, and anything that goes along with the runway extension. The realignment of Park Avenue will be covered by this. Conventional hangars and T-hangars that we have planned for development, and also some parking apron expansion. This project will also include whatever preliminary design is required for permitting purposes, things like the Army Corps of Engineers jurisdictional determinations for wetlands, any DENREC type permitting that we would need. The environmental assessment is required in order for us to get any grant money from the FAA. And,
so this will take care of the next any project for 5 years?
Right. All the projects for
that.
It's actually the five years after the completion of the environmental assessment, so it's probably the next 6 or 7 years.
And what is the figure again?
The total for this is $634,694.
And what's our portion?
Realistically?
Right now, all of it.
Right now, it's all of it.
But it'd be reimbursed.
We got money, Dave? Is that something?
Well, we have funds available. However, Jim has talked and is waiting for the FAA to get back to him
It's normally reimbursable.
To see if the funding will be available. And we should know something in the next few days.
Okay.
Grant eligible. Yeah. We're on the list to receive a grant. We're in the priority list with them right now. The money and the priority hasn't met yet.
Is it appropriate for us to wait and see if we're going to get a portion of it?
What's your motion?
The way the motion is read, it's pending the approval of Mr. Baker. So we can pass the motion, and if the money's not there, turn it down.
And what is the portion that you expect them to pick up?
Well, we're hoping it's going to be all of it. And our share would be the $16,000 that we planned for in the budget this year.
So you want to read your contingent motion?
I'm sorry?
Read your contingent motion?
Well, I guess my question is, which I realize it's a huge amount of money, that without this, we're not going to move forward on our project anyway. So it's something that we're damned if we are and we're not. So, I mean, it's one of those things we got to keep moving on. I understand we certainly want to provide funding, but I also understand that the federal government is stealing the money from and putting it somewhere else from the ticket sales and all that good stuff. So we're, you know, we're most likely not going to get a whole lot of money because what, right, we've got $500,000 out of $14 million so far, roughly, Jim. So, and I understand your point too, Dave, that $600,000 is not what we allowed.
My guess is we're gonna get a portion of it. We won't get the whole thing, but we're moving ahead with trying to get the 600,000.
Delta, it's gonna take, how long do you estimate Delta to take to do? I mean, it's gonna be one of those, as we build a project, they'll jump on board, or what we have seen out there now, they'll take and run with it right now? Is that, you know, like the road, the new road, and those kind of, they'll start work on that now?
We had that meeting.
And anything that, is on the books that we ask for money from the government, we have to have this environmental assessment complete.
Right.
And this, it's going to be about a year and a half project to get to that point. It still keeps us on track for 2008 to do the road realignment, 2009 for the runway, you know, assuming the money is there someplace.
Well, Jim, clarify for me. I think a minute ago you said our portion is likely going to be 16, but now Mr. Jones is implying that we're probably not going to get the balance of it, so it's going to be a lot more than 16.
If we get the grant for the entire portion of the 634,000, our portion would be 2.5%, or about 16,000.
And is the motion constructed in a way that we're not going to spend this amount unless we get that, or is it just kind of leaving it?
But I can read the motion and
Read
your questions then.
Shake it out.
Yeah. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council approves Amendment 17 to the engineering agreement between Sussex County and Delta Airport Consultants, Inc. to conduct Runway 422 extension environmental assessment and conduct Runway 422 extension benefit cost analysis for the Sussex County Airport, which increases the original contract amount by $634,694. Pending approval from the county finance director, DelDOT, and or the FAA.
That's your clincher right there.
Jim, will you know from the FAA this week what their decision will be on the funding?
We'll have a good idea.
We'll have a good idea. So
they didn't know this morning how much money was coming down. They were supposed to find that out in the next day or so, and then they'll match it up with their priorities. And
Mr. Rogers.
Yes, Mr. Stickles.
If you do not do this, then you're not going to do anything else.
That's right.
So
this is a necessity.
There is
runway extension. How many millions of dollars are we looking to do at the airport?
Oh, mess.
$34 million.
$34 million. So if you don't do this, then you're not getting any more money.
That's right.
Did you say there's another option?
No.
Well, you cannot do this and pay for it yourself. And you know, just the two runways and the road is about $26 million. So
right.
Everything's about $34-35 million.
Right.
So you don't have a choice in doing this.
The premier is 34. What the finish is.
Right.
Everything's contingent on finance. So that's, you said that in the last sentence.
Right.
Tom, you've heard this
approval
is.
Approval from the finance director.
Okay. Yeah. The finance director finds out on Friday that we're not getting a dime or we're getting a very small portion.
Then we have to make another decision.
Does the finance director come back for more council approval or do you just make the call?
He'll wait till November. We could come back to the council and explain that, you know, if we have a financing plan, say the FAA approved half or had funding for half of it, for instance, then we could come back to you and say, here's how we propose to do it.
But is it,
and we could come back to you next week. And
as Mr. Stickles says, if we don't move forward with this, we're going to stagnate everything we've done to date. And
right.
Jeopardize a lot of jobs in the future.
And there are items in the capital improvement budget, like clear zone,
right,
and the water and fire system, and so on, that we can look at and try to.
Certainly, I mean,
unfortunately,
they're all tied together. You know, one piggybacks off the other, and it is coming to a head now. And you know, it's it's unfortunate the federal government is not doing what they're supposed to do, but that's the way life is. So, but if you'll give us a report, and maybe Robin should put it back on the agenda then for next week, or so we don't. Is that something that, that or I guess, or under old business or something? Yeah. I don't know.
Shall we can put that. It on?
Just in case. Just is that okay with you guys? I mean, certainly, hopefully we'll have an answer. If not, we'll scratch it.
Huh? Yeah, we have to put it on for next week, because right. Then you're talking about the 12th.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen.
Okay, so we still have a motion sitting out there that we have to vote on. Or we can just defer, but if we should vote on it, and it's still approval of Dave, which is going to give us a report next week. So I'll make that a motion, see if I got a second.
I'll second.
Motion Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to approve the motion read by Mr. Henkin. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
There's a saying, don't analyze until you're paralyzed.
That's
I have
right.
confidence in our finance director. Right. I will vote yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes also.
Mr. Phillips? Or Mr. Dukes?
My vote is yes.
My vote is yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't want to talk too much.
Thank you.
Next thing is Mr. Archett.
I have an item on the agenda that deals with a design contract with Whitman Record and Associates for Tingle Road Pumping Station. Pumping station, if you may be familiar with it, it's down in Bethany Beach. It's about 30 years old. The design contract will look at replacing three existing pumps, inspecting and refinishing the wet well, replacing all piping and supports within the wet well. Providing odor control. This is a new thing. We didn't have odor control at this pump station before, although we've tried various ways to control the odor. We didn't have an actual odor control system.
Get Rodney out there with a bag of lunch.
Let it talk.
We've tried some things, but it's not working.
Keep talking around.
Provide a bypass connection at Tingle Road and Pump Station 99 for at Ocean View, which can be used to clean the force mains that go out to the South Coastal Treatment Plant, and install new wet well hatches and safety grates. Whitman would also assist in helping us bid the project and holding the pre-bid meetings, those kind of things. The actual work at the pump station as well as design cost was proposed and approved in this year's budget. The total cost is $82,227 for this contract, and it is within our anticipated budget for the work. And it has been approved by our assistant, the contract has been approved by our assistant county attorney and the internal auditor.
Get a motion.
I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council hereby authorizes its president to execute amendment number 37 dated June 8, 2006 to its contract with Whitman Record and Associates LLP for the Tingle Road Pumping Station improvements at a cost not to exceed $82,227 as presented on August 15, 2006.
Gentlemen, you heard the motion. Any questions?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to approve the motion by Mr. Archett. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Doug Stewart, Project Manager, South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facilities Treatment Upgrade Number 2, Change Order Number 2. Item A. Proceed.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, this is proposed change order number 2 for the scruff treatment upgrade number 2 contract. It's 4 sub-changes comprising this change order, and they've been recommended by Stern and Wheeler, the county's consulting engineer. Under the first change, the contract was to install 2 new 8-inch valves on existing influent lines to the existing surge tank. The most feasible alternative was to hire a pipe freeze contractor to nitrogen freeze the pipelines, allowing the valves to be installed at night when flows from the surge tank were lowest. The cost of that additional work was $5,300.21. Second change was a relocation and replacement of an existing underground 480 kV duct bank that runs through the area of the new grit removal tank. Power line was missed during the design, wasn't shown on the as-built drawings. So it was a differing site condition for the contractor, and he's entitled to be paid for that work that he had to do to avoid that. That amounted to $7,285.07.
How much?
$7,285.07. Third change was to provide two additional 12-inch stainless steel expansion couplings on the new aeration system air piping that weren't called for on the original bid documents. And during the shop drawing stage, the coupling manufacturer recommended adding these two couplings to better reduce the effects of thermal stress in the piping systems. The cost of this additional work was $2,634.65. Final change is a credit to replace slip-resistant painted finish specified for the concrete floor slabs in five of the new buildings that have a concrete floor sealant. To replace the slip-resistant finish with just a floor sealant. And the reason for that is because we've had unsatisfactory experience at the plant with a slip-resistant finish, and it only lasts about a year and has to be replaced. So felt that this would be a better thing for the county. And the credit to furnish and install the floor sealant in lieu of the slip-resistant finish is $1,413.51. So the total amount of the change order is $13,806.42, which is the additional cost of these four changes, the net additional cost.
Yeah, motion.
Any questions?
David, I guess, this is, we're getting easier as we're going downhill. I mean, so is this getting close to the end? And there, we got certainly, that's not much money to talk about, so for the project.
Yeah, we have funding available for this.
Yes, we do.
Total, it's a $15 million contract.
Yeah, it's a $15.2 million contract, and previous change order one was about $21,000. So this increases contract total to $15.235 million.
Got motion.
And a motion, be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the county's consulting engineer, Stearns and Wheeler, and the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number two for Sussex County contract 02-12-B, scruff treatment upgrade number two with CO Falter Construction Corporation, be approved in the amount of $13,806.42, which increases contract total, including previous approved change order number one, from $15,221,980.24 to $15,235,786.66, contingent upon approval of U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development and the Financial Assistance Branch of the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. It's a mouthful.
Gentlemen, you heard a motion.
Second. I'll make a motion, Mr.
Motion,
President.
Mr. Jones, second by
second.
Mr. Phillips. To approve, I think I heard during that air raid, it was $13,806.42. All right, any questions, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Moving right along to
grant
request.
The first grant request is from the Milton Lions Club. And it's for funding for replacing old medical equipment.